Heaven's way is to benefit, not to harm, says Lhotse. The sage's way is to act and not to contend. Much of our life is an imposition. We live as though the things that we must do are imposed upon us, especially in a way that is uncomfortable. Uncomfortable to the demands of our genetics, our DNA. Those who live by this process of the human body find themselves in very difficult situations. I have known many people who they're giving, if they even bother to do it, is an imposition to them. They hoard, as Lhotse talks about. They do not see. They do not understand the evermore. That is the deep reward for living. We miss our entire life and the purpose of it due to that of trying to avoid the imposition, the process of doing something that is noble. We argue. We argue with our senses. We argue with our minds. We argue with our logic and reasoning. We want to take the seemingly higher moral ground. But true strength is in the kindness. The kindness of a person who understands the evermore that one gets when living in compassion. What is our great imposition in this world? Really, what is it? Let me give you a little story. A man came to a Sufi master and said, "What shall I do? My tongue causes me trouble. Wherever I go, I am in conflict and I cannot control it. I condemn those in their good and I condemn those in their bad. I contradict everyone. I start arguments. What shall I do? I cannot stop this." The Sufi looked at him with great compassion. He said, "If you cannot control yourself, if you refuse to control yourself, if you refuse to see the imposition of your tendencies and how they impose upon you great, great evil, then you need to live alone. For this weakness that you complain about harms other people. It comes from within yourself. Learning how to live with others means that we don't live square, but rather round in order to turn towards all and feel a sense of virtue. Your words penetrate deep into your life, my life, because we live harshly. We don't live round, letting things just roll off our backs like a duck with water. No, we take them personally. Those who are learned do not know. They do not know what I am talking about. Those who have learned to live in the confines of their genetics, they don't know. They are simply doing what they've always done. Anything is an imposition that would force them out of their genetic heritage, beyond their need to survive, their DNA. We argue, we fight. That's all I get from my students. Pushback, pushback. They want to live their life on their terms. They lose the evermore. And then they think that they don't deserve it, or that they're so evil that they're not worth the process of awakening. They don't do the difficult before it becomes impossible. Their whole life becomes an imposition. Where did all this come from? Another student recently came to me and said, "What is the use of helping others? No good deed goes unpunished." One of my four noble truths of this world. So I looked at this student and I said, "You do what you do to help others, not for yourself, but for them. What they do with your goodness is none of your business. Your business is the evermore. To be so loving, to be so kind, to be so round, that their dispositions do not make an imposition in you." Of course, this didn't go over very well, because true words are not pleasing, and pleasing words are not true. I'm reminded of another story of the mullah, the divine idiot. I love him so dearly. See if you can understand this story. One day, the mullah was washing his yogurt pot and pouring yogurt that remained in the pot into the lake. Some people wanted to make fun of him when they saw what he was doing. They said, "Nasruddin, what are you doing?" Nasruddin looked at them and smiled. "I am turning the lake into yogurt." Can a little bit of yeast from the fermented yogurt ferment the lake? One person asked, laughing at Nasruddin. "Well, you never know," he said. "It might." "And what if it should?" he said. Do you understand? You and I are not going to change the world. I'm not going to help most of the people that listen to this discourse. They don't get it. They're not interested in the evermore. They're interested in what benefits them. Can we change the world with just a little yogurt in the ocean of our existence? It seems like such an imposition to help people. to go beyond the beyond. You see, my dear one, wisdom is not learning. You can't learn wisdom. Kindness cannot be learned. The practice looks like an imposition to the ego, to the way you were raised. Now, that little bit of yogurt that Nasruddin is dealing with here, that he's cleaning his bowl with at the lake, is just the most interesting metaphor I have ever heard. Is the whole lake going to become yogurt? Well, you never know. Here is the posture, the teaching. The goodness you do, the blessing you do, is very important. You never know the good that you might be doing through the imposition of taking yourself and putting yourself in the posture of doing something totally different than you've ever done before. An extreme sense of generosity, an extreme sense of mercy and forgiveness. That is the generosity. You never know. Your parents, they dumped little innuendos into your body, into your brain, into your being. This became the excessive baggage of your life. And the thing about it is that these people who you thought were all-knowing, all-wise, and that they loved you, were only willing to give you the very best. But not so. Just the least little bit of condemnation or the sense of questioning the imposition of being generous and kind set forth within your mind, your body, your emotions, what Lhasa called hoarding. There are many things about the way we do not understand. We cannot comprehend it because the way is beyond the Gregory Edwards compensation, his idea of being compensated, and his understanding. He just doesn't have it. If you live by this, you will look like a fool, like the mullah looked like a fool, saying, well, maybe the whole lake will turn into yogurt. Who knows? This is the ever after. We cause ourselves a great deal of trouble because of the whole idea of our impositions. We don't like things being imposed upon us. We want to be quote-unquote free. We are not free. As long as we have a body, we will never be free. This is really a sad assumption we make, but it is planted within us by our loved ones, the people that we thought loved us the most. We don't know this. Years after the death of our parents, we continue on in the impositions that they taught us. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, revenge. We get into social situations that are so very complex And we find that what we were taught when we were children has now become the imposition of our life, but we just don't see it. The great knowledge of wisdom. Without a sense of true understanding, is worthless. If we follow the blind, we are sure to leave the way, and that will cause us the greatest imposition of our life. Which would you rather suffer from? The imposition of thinking and believing, living in the attitudes of our conjectures, our opinions, all based in what I have inherited from my mother and my father and their mothers and fathers. Do I want to live as my parents lived? Because if I do, as you know what I'm going to say, you will die the way they died. Without understanding, without compassion, without beauty, without the benefit of what you ask, of the evermore. This is not something that most people can tolerate. Would you say your life has been a glorious success that has brought you to this place where you can give to others, you can share your heart, your soul, you can make a difference in somebody's life by relieving them of their misunderstandings? Or do you just continue on with your life and the work of your mother and father and their mothers and fathers who lived in the utter futility of ignorance? Giving to people, helping them understand the imposed that is within them. They make their life a burden. Is your life a burden? What would you even call your life? Every day you toil and spin in the effort to make money to survive. You're in competition, you think, with other people. This is the yogurt, as it were, of your childhood, of what you learned as a child. And it's filled your lake with the yogurt of your parents. This is why Lao Tzu talks about nurturing. Nurturing the Tao. This is what it's all about. How to nurture that goodness, that mercy. The more he does for others, says Lao Tzu, the more he has. Of course, that makes no sense to you. How could it? How could that make sense to anyone who is sensible? Who is, quote unquote, reasonable? It can't. And hence, we have lost the benefit of living the evermore. And this is sad, very sad. I'd like to meditate with you. The words I have uttered mean nothing unless there is meditation, unless there is silence. That their true meaning may turn into something beyond words. from the Tao. The way receives with great gladness for all who walk in the way. Abandonment of the way leads to abandonment of life, of self, he says. Why abandon?